Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 127. And what you just heard was the all-exciting trailer for Asylum of the Daleks, which is the first story in the new series. Yes, I said the title, you spoiler-phobic people. But no doubt you will discover it's called Asylum of the Daleks in a couple of weeks' time when the series starts. With me is Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Information. Save the Daleks.
And Robert Haynes.
Information. You are all going to die.
Information. Can't seem to get hold of Mary. Nevertheless.
Not good.
No, but hopefully Mary will sort out her internet problems and join us at some point during the show. Yes, the trailer I've seen is, well, we just played on the show, it's very short, very brief, and very exciting images, and lots of thumping noises. And Daleks.
Lots of Daleks.
And Daleks saying, save the Daleks, was
and
it?
Or Daleks.
Pardon?
Yes, save the Daleks. Daleks, huh?
The answer to that, of course, is no.
No, definitely not.
So, anybody want to add anything more about that particular trailer?
I want the show to start, and it looks like it's going to be 2 weeks.
Yes, well, nothing confirmed this side.
Well, it's confirmed on our side.
I'm sure it will be, Adam. They're just slack.
Pretty sure September is. As soon as September starts, they'll kick it off. But I would have thought they would have come up with a launch date by now, because the Radio Times will no doubt have.
I'm wondering if the announcement of the date was a leak on this side. If people don't know, there is a trailer which did a show last night, very late, on TV, which shows the September 8th start date. And I've put a link to it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook page.
Which, of course, you can join. Please do. Anyway, I've got some audio feedback. What are you doing that silly noise for?
Feedback.
Audio feedback.
Yeah, but I don't understand what the silly noise is for. How's that in relation to the audio feedback?
You're getting some audio feedback.
Oh, good grief.
Oh.
Wish I'd asked now.
This is the Galactic Exchange. You have a message. Connecting you, now.
Here at the restaurant at the end of the podcast, we've just finished listening to your review of Voyage of the Damned. You've been a great warm-up act for my stand-up routine. First time I've tried this, so here goes.
A warm welcome, please, for Lewis, the kid from the future.
Thanks. Hope you're enjoying the show. I hear K9's olfactory sensors have stopped working.
How does he smell?
As I explained, his olfactory mechanism has broken, so he no longer has the ability to perform that function. Looks like they're a tough crowd. Okay, this is a surefire winner. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Lee.
Who's there?
Who? Lee. Doctor. No. Hang about. That's not right. This is harder than I thought. Right. I'll try this. Why did the fifth doctor go on strike?
I don't know. Why did the fifth doctor go on strike?
Because he wanted a raise in salary. Well, looks like my stand-up routine needs a little more work. This is Lewis, the kid from the future, signing out.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Jim the Fish.
I miss being zapped.
You know what? You know, I got when he said that joke. Why did the fifth doctor go on strike? The punchline, the actual punchline, it should have been come straight into my mind. because it was his term to bat. Is it, he was a cricket doctor, his turn on strike.
Yes, yeah. We get it.
Yeah. Thanks.
That one bowled right over me.
Yes, thank you, Jim and the Fish.
Well, hey, at least I get cricket jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, so that was, as I say, that was Jim the Fish. And I did say thank you, Jim the Fish.
Hey!
It's nice to have him back. You mean, hey, what's that supposed to be? You've suddenly gone up.
No, my cat is climbing up on my plate.
For a minute there, I thought you'd gone all scouse.
No.
So, no Reese today?
No, he was sulking last week, wasn't he? Because I said we were going to record today and he was doing drama school and couldn't do it and he was sulking because we wanted to do Time Crash, so I said we'd delay Time Crash next week, even though it's out of sequence. So as we could, we'll probably do a commentary on that because it's not very long, is it?
Okay, I missed that. Darn,
you weren't listening, were you?
Time
Crash. But next week we'll do Time Crash. Excuse me, and I don't know what else should we do.
Well, you have to fill in 2 weeks.
A classic episode, a classic story of Doctor Who that you and Mary haven't.
Ah, remember Mary wanted to watch a Delgado Master.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll do that. Okay. How about some.
Hello, 20 Minute Map Podcast. Hello, Ian Kirk.
Hi, Captain.
In the Olympic Games, Yorkshire athletes won 7 gold medals.
So?
So did the Australians. Doctor Who will not be back on 25th of August. A lot of people thought it would.
I'm from Yorkshire.
Time Crash by Stephen Moffat. This was a one-scene special for the Children in Need telethon.
Yes, I know.
The 10th Doctor's TARDIS hits the 5th Doctor's TARDIS. This story is very Moffat. The Doctor knows how to solve a problem because he remembers seeing his older self solve it. Then he hits the Starship Titanic. There was a Douglas Adams computer game called Starship Titanic. There was a Colin Baker story called Time Crash. Time Crash was produced by Graham Harper, who also produced the final Peter Davison story,
directed
The Caves of Androzani. That reminds me, Peter Davison's name has one D. Nicola Bryant has a double D. The Doctor mentions Tegan. She was from Australia. The Voyage of the Damned by Russell T. Davis. Kylie Minogue is in this. She's from Australia. The captain says it's an old ship, but the plot suggests it was named Titanic because Max Capricorn intended it to crash on Earth, which would make it a new ship. Well, stutters when he says Max. There was a TV character called Max Headroom who stuttered all the time.
Yeah, I remember.
The teleport bracelets like those on Blake 7. The officer who tells them everything is all right and they will have free drinks dies when he falls out of an airlock. In the episode 42, the captain died falling out of an airlock.
Yeah.
Later in the episode Midnight, the hostess dies falling out of an airlock. Let's be careful around those airlocks, programmers.
Yes.
The Doctor says he's Passenger 57. There was a Wesley Snipes film called Passenger 57. And the Doctor looks nothing like Wesley Snipes. Astrid is from the planet Stowe. And the Doctor says he's a stowaway. Max Capricorn's plan to make money from changing share values reminds me of Cassandra's similar plan. This was before we found out how much dodgy deals were happening in the real world. That was a seal of Rassilon. Incredibly hot. Jim the Fish will return soon. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Yes. I forgot what I was going to say then in regards to that, because he said something that sort of tweaked something in my mind, and then he said that last joke and it completely sidetracked me.
I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
Wait,
it has to do with Time Crash. Yes, that's the time delay on that one for next week. But thanks anyway. Hold that thought. Time Crash bit.
I'll put it over here on a shelf.
Thank you very much.
Ooh, it's a bit heavy.
So, yes, that was Ian Kirk. Thank you, Ian, for your audio feedback. Say thank you to Ian.
Yes, thank you, Ian. Thank you, Ian. Yes. And thank you, Jim the Fish, as well.
Indeed. I have some audio feedback. Haven't I just already said that? Oh, God, I wish I hadn't. All right. It's almost as bad as the Seal of Rassilon joke.
This is Matthew from North Alabama sending in feedback on Time Crash and Voyage of the Damned. I'd like to begin, however, by responding to the comments about my somewhat controversial feedback in the last episode. I want to say up front that I much prefer John Timm's Master and End of Time, because I think that story better suits the more manic version of the Master that he plays. Thinking about what you guys said in the episode about the comedy, I do wonder now if I've taken the comedy the wrong way when I've been watching these episodes. So that'll be something I'll keep an eye out for when I revisit the story in the future.
I did when I first watched.
Despite everything that was said, though, I still think that the ending is out of left field. And I think Adam does have a very good point about the Doctor suddenly growing a new suit. Moving on, though. First off, for this episode, there's Time Crash. At 8 minutes long, it's not too long, but it's not too short. It's a fun little two-hander between Peter Davison and David Tennant that makes the most use of its constraints of being limited in terms of the actors and being set entirely in the TARDIS. It's a bit of a nostalgia piece, I suppose, on one level for the longtime fans of the show, or for those who know the old series well. Plus, it's got a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference in it with the whole Belgium business. So what's not to love? For that matter, I think the one thing everybody will agree on is that it's definitely better than Dimensions in Time was. That brings us then to Voyage of the Damned. It's basically Doctor Who doing the 1970s disaster film. Specifically, it strongly echoes the film that's really the archetype for that genre, The Poseidon Adventure from 1972. The engine room scene, about 35 minutes in particular, is very similar to a sequence in the climax of The Poseidon Adventure. Also, in terms of the actual story itself, there's the big disaster at the beginning that kills everyone. There's a tiny group of survivors being led through the ship, hopefully to safety, by this figure who's inspiring them, be it Gene Hackman's character in The Poseidon Adventure or David Tennant as the Doctor in Voyage of the Damned. And then the survivors start dying one by one before the day is eventually saved and they're able to survive. When I first saw this, I guess it would have been in 2008 because it was on the Sci-Fi Channel, I felt that the disaster genre for a Christmas special was quite odd. But looking at the story now, it seems like it works quite well, all things considered. There's also some interesting echoes of The Robots of Death, Chris Boucher's story from the Tom Baker era well. Yeah. The hosts, if you think about it, are quite similar to the robots in that they're meant to be serving the humans, and at the start of the story they're doing just that before someone on board hijacks them for their own murderous ends. Even the hosts' voices echo those of the robots in the older story. Also, as well, both stories feature a device for cutting off the metal creatures as the story reaches its climax, which becomes quite important. I might be reading a bit too much into it, but if not, it's a nice nod back to the old series by Russell T. Davies and the production team. The story itself is good. There's the aforementioned disaster movie motif that runs throughout, right down to a spaceship called the Titanic, which I have to say is nicely realized in CGI as a mix of between being both a spaceship and the historical Titanic. Kylie Minogue, who's the big guest star in this, she's not a bad actress. She's not a great one either, but I think she does a pretty good job playing Astrid. The writing and direction, though, is a bit over the top at times, like Astrid's death, which Doctor Who magazine somehow decided was the greatest Doctor Who death ever they compiled a list in 2008 in the lead-up to Series 4.
That's ridiculous.
And also over the top is that slow-motion montage that follows her death. Also, does anybody know why the host suddenly recognized the Doctor as the highest authority after Max Capricorn's death? I'm quite curious to see what you guys think.
He's got a certain screwdriver.
Summing up, Voyage of the Damned is a good Christmas story. It's a bit over the top. It relies on the 1970s disaster film cliches. And as a result of that, it's basically the Poseidon Adventure set in space. But ultimately, I think it's 70-odd minutes well spent in front of your TV. And what else can you ask from Doctor Who? Best wishes to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Matthew Kressel.
Thank you, Matthew. And hello, Mary.
Hello. Struggling at this end to stay connected.
Yes, I'm very sorry that we had to start the show without you.
Adam.
Oh, good grief. What have I done now? Yes.
No. I was going to just, I wanted to say something about to Matthew. I don't know whether you can confirm this, Adam, but during the commentary they were talking about disaster movies being shown a lot around Christmas time in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to remember it from their childhood, like watching The Towering Inferno, those type of things, airport, things like that.
Yeah.
So that used to happen, so that's probably why, you know, it's following in that mould, isn't it?
Maybe so. But there's lots of big blockbusters are generally shown at Christmas anyway, aren't they? So
RTD mentions that in his book as well.
About disaster movies.
Still, I don't think of it as a great Christmas theme to be having all these wonderful people dying. I thought it was very sad, you know, not good for Christmas.
Oh, I agree. It is. There was lots and lots of deaths in it. Yes, I totally agree. But anyway, talking about episode, it begins with the Doctor in the TARDIS, basically recapping the scene before we get the time crash, which we'll talk about next week because of Reese. So, Reese, I hope you appreciate this, me changing the order of things for your benefit. And of course, if Reese isn't on next week, I'll be taking the mickey out of him as something chronic. Yes, of course.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking about time crash.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile,
if you will compare the CGI Titanic between the end of the previous episode and the beginning of this one, it is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Very good point. But of course, the reason why the Titanic couldn't just happen to come through the wall of the console room and not any other and the other part of the TARDIS is because of the defences are down, because he's still fixing it after the Master cannibalised it. So, I'm sorry if I'm boring you, but I do try.
Sorry.
It's
27 in the morning. Okay. Sorry.
Well, he has a little wander around
it's
the ship.
It's almost 6:30 in the morning here.
Okay.
Information. I'm tired.
Are you? I'm sorry about that. Anyway, he has a little wander around what looks like some sort of passenger lounge with a bar in it and some... It's really a cross between the robots from Robots of Death and the Weeping Angels, for me.
Yeah.
They are. And the way they speak is very, Robots of Death, isn't it? But I'm not going to grumble about that because, obviously, we all love Robots of Death. Russell T. Davies is a Doctor Who fan, and he would have wanted to pay homage to. I think it would have been better just to bring them back as the robots from Robots of Death, rather than invent
them. But they got the hair wrong. Do you know when they? On the Robots of Death, the head and how it was elongated, and they designed it from the Weller Hair logo.
All right, did they? Cool.
So they got the hair wrong in this one.
Okay, so we're on the bridge of the Titanic, and all the half well, the crew are being dispatched by the captain, to have a snooze or whatever. But
Captain Jeffrey Palmer.
Jeffrey Palmer, that's
Sir
right.
Sir Jeffrey Palmer. No, he's not a sir.
He's not a sir.
OBE.
He's just OBE. He should be a sir, yes.
No, during the commentary, they called him that, so.
No, that's fine. But anyway, what's Alonzo's surname? You can't remember, right? Okay. But anyway, he's Crane.
Crane?
Yeah.
Midshipman Crane. That's him.
Yeah. Midshipman, right.
Well done. Anyway, he refuses to go because the regulations state that you should have at least two crew members on the bridge. So. I quite like his character. He's a great character. It's a shame we only see a fleeting glimpse of him again in as Captain Jack's next shag. It's a bit of a shame. We have a special scene where we see Max, the owner of what is sort of supposed to be the White Star Line. So it's not the White Star Line, it's just supposed to be that version of the White Star Line. I suppose he's really playing a bit like... who was that one from the Titanic who actually made sure he was on a lifeboat? I can't remember his name anyway, but it's basically him that I think the character is supposed to be depicting. You have to be clued up on Titanic history to actually...
Is that Billy Zane's character?
No, it was his character was a fictional character. I was talking about... the actual owner of the White Star Line who made sure he got into a lifeboat. Whereas the designer of the ship sacrificed himself, and so did the captain. Funny enough. But this chap who plays, I can't remember his name, the baddie bloke in it, the greedy, nasty character. He was in Coronation Street playing a greedy, nasty character.
Rixton Slade.
That's a great name. Not a very nice character, but he's very good at playing baddies. He's got a Scottish accent like, obviously, David Tennant has, and he's suppressing it for this particular role. but generally in his performance, he doesn't suppress it. Now, this robot thing, they're called the Hosts, aren't they? It's a familiar name.
And continuing and a whole Angel thing that we've been having over several episodes. We had the Archangel Network, and what was the other Angel? Oh, well, the Angels.
The Weeping Angels.
The Weeping Angels, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're called Host. Now, I'm sure the Host has been used several times in Doctor Who as a name of a baddie.
Max,
or
Max.
Headroom, yes. Oh.
the Heavenly Host.
And anyway, everybody's dancing around all happy. The Doctor's changed into a tuxedo. I forgot to mention this. So he's got his bow tie on now.
It's the same tuxedo. He makes a reference to it. Possibly being unlucky.
He says bad name for his ship. It's that, or this suit is really unlucky.
Yeah, and what if that's the same tuxedo that the 11th Doctor wears after he's been kissed by River Song? Hello, Isabella.
No, it's not. It's not as fancy.
Oh, hello, Isabella. It's not. Right. Yes. What do you want? Coast, can you get that? That looks like a DVD.
The Post is here.
Oh,
DVD.
Yes, that's mine. I'll have that. Thank you. That's mine. Yes, I'm going to. It's from Amazon. Oh no, it's from Backplay.com, and I'm not.
What is it?
Oh, what is it, Isabella?
Cool.
What is it then?
It's the.
What does it say?
Plant of Giants.
I didn't say plant.
Planted of Giants.
What does that say?
Doctor Who, Planted of Giants.
Oh, never mind. Thank you.
Planet of the Giants. Excellent.
Yes. So my Planet of Giants DVD's just dropped through the letterbox. That's the last William Hartnell.
Is that the one that comes after Greatest Show in the Galaxy, is it?
Yes. But that's the last William Hartnell story that's going to be released on DVD. Other than that complete one that's still complete in the archives. They're going to release some Reign of Terror with a cartoon bit on it.
So
back to Doctor Who.
Should that have come from our sponsors?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
Because I've got them on. I just happened to have it on pre-order from Play.com. But we could have got it from the sponsors.
And who are our sponsors?
Whoone.co.uk. And I'm trying to do a looking at this particular story, which is Voyage of the Damned. And I can't remember what I got up to now. Yes. So we meet Astrid Peth. Obviously, everybody thought that because she was called Astrid, it was an anagram of TARDIS, and that would have some sort of.
No, not everybody. I did not think that.
Well, I did.
I did.
No,
it was intrinsically obvious.
Yeah, and the Doctor sort of.
Just look, my brain immediately turned her name around into TARDIS.
Yeah. Well, they do like their anagrams, don't they? In Russell.
Yeah, they do. That's a very good point. So the Doctor immediately gets very friendly with her.
Kylie is a pretty good actress.
She was an actress before she was a singer. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Alicia.
Bye, Alicia.
Sorry?
We'll probably close about 3 o'clock, so about 4.
Yeah, you better be, because your mother will go a very strange colour, make a very loud noise, and swear a few times if you don't come in on time.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, I always heard that Kylie was a pop singing star, but I never knew she was an actress, too.
Well, I didn't know that either.
She started off on Neighbours. Well, actually...
No, she was on other stuff. Yeah, Henderson Kids, and it was Neighbours.
The Henderson Kids.
And because Neighbours was massively popular in Great Britain, they decided to bring out her second single, which was I Should Be So Lucky.
Aiken and
then they decided to bring out the single that was a big hit in Australia, which was The Locomotion.
Locomotion, I Should Be So Lucky.
And here we go with the Kylie Minogue discography. But she's very talented young woman.
Is she still a pop star there?
She's very, very popular. Very
still
good.
Going. She's about 44, I think, now.
She's 44, and she's got a lot of longevity. Because she's managed to sort of, to actually be very popular and successful over, which is now a long period of time. 1989, she was first.
20 years.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah, you've got to be pretty good to actually last that long in the entertainment industry.
Oh yeah, you've got to be adaptable to all the changes.
Absolutely, and she's an icon as well, Kylie.
And Adam, wasn't this after she'd was diagnosed with breast cancer too, wasn't it?
No, this was made before it. This was made.
It was made before.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the episode itself. The Doctor's making friends with a few of the obviously the people who are going to become the main characters and
the victim.
Yeah, and the victim.
The victim.
Yeah. he uses his sonic screwdriver driver to set off a specific champagne bottles that soaks some for the rude people on another table. He gets friendly with these rather chubby. What are they? Why are they wearing those strange suits?
Because they were told it was fancy dress.
Yeah, that's their fancy dress, right?
There you go, I got you. But they're obviously very much in love.
They must be square
dancing. Yeah. What else is going on? So, yeah, basically the captain's up to something. Oh, I've actually turned the volume up. Sorry, listeners. So the captain's up to something, and he's sabotaging the ship, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes, I know it's boring, isn't it? And Alonso is not having anything of it. He's sticking by the rules and keeping an eye on a meteor storm that's coming towards them. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Astrid are going to have a nip down to Earth to have a little
with Richard Bucket.
Yeah. Yes, and the bloke from Revelation of the Daleks.
Revelation of the Daleks. Yeah, Joe Bell.
Yeah,
he was a very nasty character.
He was a very nasty character. And he had a ginger wig.
He's much more known to be poor, long-suffering Richard.
Yeah. Who must love that woman very much to still be with her.
Yes.
And of course, we've already met Banner Cafalata. We've actually gone past the Banner Cafalata bit, which is a typical Russell T. Davies, really.
Jimmy B.
Yeah.
Jimmy B.
But again, a good little character in the story. And of course, the fact that they've landed on Earth, somewhere in Cardiff, and it does look quite familiar, actually, this area. Means that, obviously, it's supposed to be London because we meet Wilf. Now, is he actually called Wilf in the titles? I didn't actually get around to looking. What's he called in the titles?
Oh, in the titles? I don't know.
Kirby, it's very unlike you not to know that.
I just assumed he was Wilf, but no, he's never referred to.
And it is, actually. In the titles, he is referred to as Wilford Mott.
Well, that's good, then. I'm glad.
Ah. Yeah, it is. I had a look at the end, yeah.
Good, because he's not mentioned. His name is not mentioned during this period.
No, but it is titled that at the end.
But it's also quite is consistent to the characters that we come to know later on, obviously.
Yeah. But I like how they keep with the, what's been happening every single Christmas.
That was a great scene.
Show
great
the little
scene.
Clips of stuff, yeah, that just happened to be on the news at that particular time. Nicholas Witcher was
coincidence.
Nicholas Witcher was one of the news presenters on there. Actually, quite a good actor. He
played himself as well.
Yeah, but he delivered the lines exactly as he would do, and he does do currently on news programmes. So a lot of the news readers who try to act don't quite sound the same, like Hugh Edwards when he did the Olympic stuff in Fear Her. When he was actually on the Olympics presenting it, didn't quite sound the same because he was more relaxed and he was sort of more upbeat and stuff. So that's... Anyway, besides the point. But they don't... just as the Doctor's having a conversation with Milf? Milf! Wilf! And Kylie hasn't even had a baby. They get transported away. And later on, of course, he references this, doesn't he? Because when he recognises the Doctor, he goes, it's you. Because obviously, that's when he realises something different about the Doctor, the fact he teleports away.
And I'm guessing that the TARDIS somehow made sure that he was related to the next companion.
Meanwhile, the meteors are coming in, and the captain doesn't want to do anything about it, and the Doctor then realises... Meteors. Are they meteors?
I thought you were saying the meat is.
Oh, don't be absurd. So that's coming in. The Doctor then tries to get everybody to sort of get away. Actually, initially he phones up the bridge and tells them that they obviously don't want to know because the captain is up to something.
It's awfully convenient that he just sort of knew to go behind that picture of Max Capricorn to rewire things, so they could look and see at their
he's
radar.
The doctor, Mary,
convenient
he's a
plot.
Hang on. He's a doctor. He knows all time and space. He can feel the earth moving between his feet, etc., etc.
If the plot suits it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Meanwhile,
the sonic screwdriver can do anything.
When the captain shoots Alonso, he does... The facial expression is really good because obviously he shot him, but you see the regret instantly on his face. That was quite well acted by... and he's not in it very often, is he? Jeffrey Palmer. It's only really opening bits. He's not in it after that. Panic ensues, and then some people don't believe that the ship's going to get hit by these meteors, which is reminiscent of the people not believing the Titanic was going to sink, obviously. Yeah. And then, of course, it does get attacked. And, of course, this is when the hosts start getting a bit sinister. I'm not really entirely impressed with the costumes, to be fair, because it doesn't look like a robot. You can see the neck moving in a certain way that makes it look organic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not 100%. At least with the Vox robots, you did feel like they were androidy type things, and the masks were superb. Not impressed with these ones.
Doctor.
Will you? Well, you've heard it here first. Listeners, that Robert is going to kill the Doctor. Meanwhile, I say, Alonzo's been shot.
Information, you are going to die.
Alonzo's been shot, sort of. I'm trying to work out what part of his body he's been shot in, but it's
I think his stomach. It's his stomach.
Well, if he had been shot there, I don't think he'd be.
Kind of like in his side.
He wouldn't be getting up and continuing to try to fly the ship. Right. Unless it had just.
In the commentary, he laughs about how his character is surviving for an hour and a half. Yeah. Being shot like that.
But the only way he would have survived it if the bullet would have actually just literally gone through his skin at the side. Now the flesh at the side, it wouldn't have gone through any vital organs. Just the flesh.
Wound.
Yeah, it would have hurt. It would have bled a bit.
Profusely.
Yeah, it would have bled a bit, but he may have survived. Possibly, unlikely. He would have needed medical attention for certain. But there you go. That's me being slightly pedantic. But there you go. I thought about that at the time of watching this story. That he's just been shot. He's lying on the floor. And he's obviously severely injured. But
it's a TV show, so we have.
It's not the point. It's silly. He's still got. I mean, things like that. I mean, that's just. It's like another program where somebody was administering CPR, and it was. Oh, that was Doctor Who as well, wasn't it? When what's his name was. Dead again. Arthur Darville's character. Good grief.
Rory.
That's the one.
Rory.
Yeah, he was in The Curse of the Bad Plot. He was dead, and they were the CPR that was administered.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Was ridiculous. I mean, you've got people watching this program. CPR is quite an important thing to get right. And they were showing. Anyway. There you go.
Good thing we didn't have Reese here to correct you with. I just corrected.
I said
bad plot. The black
spot.
But it's.
I keep on thinking the wrong way now, though.
Yeah. That's the first title that occurred.
The shots of the Titanic from outside with all the where it's been hit and all the damage looks really really good. That's quite good. So meanwhile, the Doctor goes into trying to fix everything mode and continues his flirting with. Astrid.
Now, one thing, there's a scene where on Deck 31 where all the hosts line up before they go off to kill. You would think that they would make a robot like this the same size every time they manufacture it.
They're
7 different
pedantic
sizes.
Moment of the week. There we go. No, right? You'll have to listen to the podcast to see what I sung then, because you weren't listening. The TARDIS is fallen out. Obviously, must have been parked next to a wall.
Wasn't that handy that it fell?
It's so handy. It always goes back to
It will do because it's been programmed that way.
Or Cardiff.
Because like...
England or Wales.
Like somebody said, and I can't remember who it was, but the fact, I think it was on another podcast, the fact that Gallifrey doesn't exist anymore, the Doctor's real home is the Earth, because it's the only home he's got.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if it was an American series, they'd always be going back to New York.
Yep, that'd be true.
So anyway, the hosts go and throw one of their frisbees at this bloke who's trapped and kill him.
Frisbee. They are like frisbees, but the guy didn't chuck it
dead,
back.
That's why.
Yeah, he probably lost his head.
Alonzo's managed to get up. The Doctor's having a chat with him about something or other. I don't know. Getting the ship back on a level. Sorry, I've got a burp coming. Told you. A level footing.
Excuse yourself.
I've got Coke. It's very hot here, and I'm just keeping my
Well, I had baked beans today.
Oh, what's that? There's a silly scene, isn't there, where the doctor, he says, who are you to be in charge, isn't he? And he sort of does a stupid little walking up to the camera speech that I'm the doctor, I'm from Gallifrey.
That's an iconic speech.
They used on the trailer.
But he's lying.
Yeah, despite the fact that it's a great speech, there are so many shots during the course of this episode where I was just waiting, you know, for the arms akimbo, fists on the hips, and the cape, you know, flapping behind him. You know, they shot him so often looking like a superhero.
Well, the thing is, how many times did he say to people, I'll save you, and he didn't in this particular story?
Yeah, and he always looked, you know, fabulous every time
he
said that.
Obviously making a big point of this, that the doctor, he lets people down. And in this one, he did. I think he said to most of the cast he'd save them, and he didn't. So there's lots of crawling around the ship, and then they get to a point where they've got to crawl across a blooming... Well, Banakafalata's injured, isn't he? But that's when we find out he's a cyborg, because he's been injured previously. Alonso makes contact with some of the crew, who then get... I like quite that bit where you can see their life signs on the screen and they all start going out.
Bit Star Trek-y.
No, I thought that Alien was so Star sad. Trek. So sad. That whole kitchen staff that's trapped there and nothing can be done for them, and then watching their life cabins go out.
It showed it in a way that wasn't too graphic, but you understood what was going on.
But you could hear it.
Good point.
Which just goes to show, I reckon that's just as effective as anything. Really, a lot of movies don't need to show things like... They don't need to show all the graphic stuff. I mean, when that's just as effective. The old Hitchcock type of thing of showing shadows, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, where do we get up to now? The bloke... the nasty bloke's getting a bit annoying. I know he's meant to be.
He was annoying all the way through, though.
Of course, Alonso deadlocks. They do love that word in Doctor Who. Deadlocks the bridge so nobody can get out.
That's me. Double deadlock. Completely
double deadlock now. So that's definitely nobody can get in or out.
Yeah, and then when he gets all upset, aren't we trapped in here? And the Doctor just says, "Don't use the word trapped. Just inconveniently circumstanced."
And then we hear.
And then we've got the Shelley Winters scene.
Oh yes.
And then we have the, like I said, about the bridge they've got to walk across, and of course the nasty bloke doesn't want the chubby chubby people walking across, and then he falls in anyway. Yes?
Back when Alonso double deadlocked himself in was, the host has its hand chopped off, which I immediately thought of robot death.
Do not throw hands at me.
I will kill twos.
He's fallen in. And a great scene, great acting and dialogue when you know she says, "What am I going to do without him?" and stuff like that. It was really, really good, sort of believable. obviously, baddie bloke gets across on his own, which should then inspire everybody else to go across. And then, of course, the angels host things then infiltrate where they are, and the wife sacrifices herself.
Placed bridge, wasn't it?
Yeah, she sacrifices herself to take one.
And they do another of those flailing arm shots, don't they? With the falling down.
Yeah, well,
oh yeah,
effective, doesn't it? Three times in this episode.
It's so much. It's a bit overused now, isn't it?
Of course, we see the angels. They sort of flying in the air and all glowing and
hosts.
And they, of course, they're throwing their blooming frisbees at them, and the Doctor and Astrid are using piping.
They're
baseball
Tron
bats,
things, aren't they? They're just from Tron.
Okay, are they?
Oh,
nevertheless,
they're just in Tron.
Nevertheless, they're using.
They play that frisbee game in Tron.
They're using like piping as baseball bats to sort of.
Chris, like most bad characters, they have terrible aim. They can't seem to hit any of the main characters.
That's because the Doctor and Astrid are so good at cricket.
Yeah.
All they can do is they just nick people. They don't really kill
anybody. Down the side. Good point, Mary. Good point. But Banakafalata then sacrifices himself with a burst of energy from his little battery pack.
Electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah.
And that battery pack I thought was a bit rude as well.
Yes, so Taran Asalata dies. I mean, Banner Kafalata dies, and so.
Can I just call you Benny?
No.
Anyway, he takes his little power pack out of his chest. Of course, it looks a bit like a fat sonic screwdriver, this little thing. And they can use that then to fend off the hosts as and when. The Doctor gives the baddie bloke, whose name always escapes me, his sonic screwdriver. I thought that was a bit unwise, but nevertheless he does it.
Play.
And says, look up! Look after it!
Yes.
And then I think the Doctor arranges for them all to sort of teleport. But
excuse me.
Teleport to Earth, doesn't he? Or sort of teleport somewhere. But Astrid decides she's going to go back and help the Doctor. And the Doctor then blags his way to the sort of to the bridge. Now this bit here, right? He gets three questions, doesn't he? With them, he manages to work out.
Three questions bits both times works wonderfully.
Yeah, it's funny. But then, of course, the bit annoyed me is when at the end of it, when I'll come to that later. But anyway, basically, they escort him to the bridge, don't they? Is that right?
Yes.
No, but they escort him when he because someone dies, doesn't they? Because he looks a bit moody. Oh, not to the bridge. They escort him. I'm jumping ahead of myself. They escort him down to see Max Headroom.
Yes.
Yes.
Downstairs.
Yes, deck 31.
That's it. And this is just a load of, I'm the big baddie, blah, 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 destroy Earth, ha, 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 just for the sake of it. Again, it reminded me of when Davros was in his just ahead.
Davros,
especially
yeah.
with the white, in the makeup and stuff. And it also, it was a bit like another episode of Doctor Who. What was that one?
Frontiers.
Yeah, very much Frontiers, like that.
With the guy inside the machine, yeah.
And also
the
makeup wasn't particularly good below the neckline. It looked a bit organic.
No.
But, maybe it's supposed to look that way, I don't know. But yeah, very Frontiers, but there you go. I suppose he's going to pay homage to a few things in Doctor Who. Astrid then comes along, sneaks along, and uses a forklift truck.
It does her aliens thing.
Yeah. A forklift truck thing to push.
And
yeah,
just because she doesn't have the appropriate license to drive a forklift, you know, they wouldn't let her. I thought that's
well, obviously she doesn't.
It's a stunt double.
Well, obviously she doesn't because she drives the thing over the edge into the engines. Of course, they want the...
No. We're talking real life here.
Oh, right. Okay, sorry.
Kylie was not licensed to drive one of those, so they had to bring in a stunt double.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
That's why you had to see her... But close
when she drives a forklift truck, of course the Doctor's going no, and it's all slow motion.
Yeah, somehow she conveniently escapes the cage that she's in, so she can free fall with her arms.
Yes. She's they go looking at each other and all knowing that she's going to die, and it's all very dramatic and
it's all rubbish.
Yes. Don't mention words, Mary. So, of course, someone
rubbish and good fun.
Flings a frisbee at her, and then, of course, she falls down, and the Doctor's... When you're looking down at the stuff falling down, it reminds me a little bit of Lord of the Rings, you know, that sort of eye thing.
Yeah, reaching for the ring, yeah.
Well, but at this time, they were shutting the engines down, so why were they still going full blast when she falls into them?
Good point.
With Max.
Good point.
Mary, it's a... TV show.
Oh, stop defending it.
Meanwhile, Kirby, do you hear yourself?
There's lots of slow motion of people panicking and expecting to die going on, as the Doctor then looks very godlike. Now, this bit is a bit cross between James Bond, when he's walking slowly and all the explosions going off. Obviously, it's a homage to Daniel Craig's James Bond, isn't it? He's wearing a sort of tuxedo without the bow tie, walking slowly, the explosions going off. But the another thing that annoyed me, because he's now he's in charge, when the angels grab him, now look at the angle of the angels are just holding by the elbows. Now, if you're carrying someone upwards, it'll be under the armpits. Yeah.
That's because he had a Kirby harness on.
Yeah, it's a Superman thing with a fish, yeah, I see what you mean there. But and then he ends up going through the floor. Surely he would have bumped his head a little bit.
Last week when we were riding a roller coaster called Superman Ultimate Flight, you're supposed to down the first hill, you're supposed to put your fist out like that.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, okay.
Did you?
Cool.
Did you, Kirby?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, of course.
Have you
also
recovered
carried
from
water
that yet?
I need some more roller coasters.
I'm sure you do. Anyway, back
with
to Doctor Who.
Water, right?
This is the bit where the yes. Doctor says, I've always wanted to say this, Alonzo. This is obviously the bit where the Titanic, he basically flies it over because of the royal family that are leaving. And there's a terrible shot of Her Majesty running through the corridors with her hands up in the air. Now, I can tell you, I don't know Her Majesty personally like Alicia does, but she wouldn't, in this situation, she would not run around panicking with her arms and hands on the air. She'd be like her father. She'd be brave, and she may walk away from it, get away from it, but she wouldn't be running like that. And the corgis in this do not act as well as the corgis did.
That's right.
In
now, Jessica Martin, who provided the voice of the Queen.
Yes.
Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
Yeah, she was in the Greatest Show in the Galaxy. And she wasn't ever a very good comedian. Impressionist. But yeah. But yeah, it was quite funny, wasn't it? So obviously the Doctor averts trouble by flying the Titanic over the roof. Right, that's by the way, listeners, that was Oh Superman by, who wrote that song? We'll have to look it up. Lonnie Anderson, was it?
I've got an issue here. All through
just
this...
Just one?
Well, one if any. All through this, they keep saying the whole idea with Max and his insurance scheme is to completely destroy the planet. And yet, when the Titanic actually hits the planet in turn left, it only destroys London.
Yes, because the Doctor had done enough to, I don't know. It's a good point,
no,
though.
The doctor doesn't exist in that. At that,
but maybe it was a knock-on effect. Destroying London would have a massive effect on the world economy and technically destroy
actually,
the world.
Actually, probably.
Oh,
no, they
say.
Or maybe
Max's
plan just failed.
I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying to defend it. And yes, you've really have picked up a good point there. Moving on. The Doctor then rushes to the transmit because he thinks he can bring Astrid back because her image will be sort of contained in the wristband.
Good old Star Trek transporter.
Yeah, and then we see this rather pathetic scene of she sort of reappears as a sort of a ghost, and then it's all, you can't bring her back, she's gone, she's just a ghost. Mm. She's saying, I'm falling.
Why do they have to have these ridiculous moments?
And the Doctor's looking as if like he's lost Rose, sort of expression. He's only met her 5 minutes ago. Yep. And then kisses her. Oh, yeah, she's able to respond to the kiss even though she's not solid.
Even though he would go right through her.
Yeah.
Even though that's a ridiculous thing, I thought they did well with miming everything.
Yeah.
Getting it together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did very well.
They did very good miming a completely terrible piece of.
Yeah.
So anyway, her little glowing particles then fly off through an open porthole.
Oh yes.
And so then.
Because it's Christmas.
And you know when they're on the Earth, and then he just happens to look up when he mentions her and sees that bit of glowy space dust.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The baddie bloke then gives the Doctor a cuddle and says he's mended his ways, more or less. The Doctor's a bit grumpy, but he takes the other chap, what's his name?
Richard Bucket.
Yeah, Richard Bucket, back to Earth. And it's not, again, it's not snowing, even though it looks like it is.
I don't get the impression at all that the baddie guy has mended his ways. He just has made
he's happy.
A ton of money.
He said something about his stock, though, didn't he?
He thanks the Doctor for saving his life, basically. But at least he thanked him. That's sort of a slight change of his ways.
Yeah, he does thank him.
And then, of course, the other chap, he's got a credit card that has got quite a lot of money on it.
The clock is making an appearance. Yay,
I know, because Isabella's open both doors.
I haven't heard the clock for a while.
Please, Isabella. It's snowing when it's not snowing, and it always does this in Doctor Who. By the way, this chap, he looks a bit like the fact he's got the bow tie, 11th Doctor-ish. The fact that he's been given all this money, and it's silly because he could do anything with it, couldn't he? It would affect something.
How did he get the £1 million to put on the card in the first place?
I think that was from the company, though, the Max Capricorn's company.
I just think that's a bit... It would be dangerous leaving somebody on Earth with a load of money to just sort of do stuff with.
Yeah.
But he does save Harriet Jones. Or at least he helps Harriet Jones.
Does he?
Does he?
Yeah, the Mr. Copper Foundation.
Oh, okay.
Well done.
Yes.
Yeah, well done, Teddy.
Good mind for detail there. Yeah.
Now, this episode, yes. This episode's 1 hour and 10 minutes long, and it really, for me, it dragged. I felt that too.
I was looking and thinking, when's it going to end?
It didn't drag for me, although it did when I was trying to listen to the commentary last night. I had to give up halfway through the commentary because I just needed to get
I did too.
I haven't done the commentary, but the only good thing about it for me is the preview of the next series, which was series 4.
And wasn't that brilliant? That was a really good preview for the next.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It's 7 o'clock here, and I've got to go, guys.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say, Mary, this is by far and away my least favorite Christmas special. What about you, Mary?
Oh, absolutely. I think the whole thing was rubbish. I really didn't even want to watch it again for this podcast. I was dreading it. I put it off as long as I could. it was sad. It was big disaster. Yeah.
Miserable thing for a Christmas day. It's a bit like an EastEnders episode.
Derivative of other things. You know, I mean, it wasn't original. It wasn't creative. It had some good scenes and a lot of good lines, but other than that, it just didn't work for me.
Yeah, it's like an EastEnders Christmas special.
Yeah. All the predictable elements.
Yeah.
My least favorite Christmas special is still Dr. Widow in the Wardrobe.
I prefer that. At least it had a lot of people died and had a positive outcome, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay, bye-bye, guys. I'll talk to you next
week.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye. Right then, Kirby. Before I let you defend it, all I'm going to say is that the fact that I didn't really want to watch this one obviously the bit is at the end that says in memory of Verity Lambert OBE, which is was quite moving. That's the only bit that really moved me out of the whole episode. And I think this is Russell T. Davies' worst piece of work for Doctor Who. And he gets criticised a lot anyway, but I think... I don't really mind his episodes, but this one, for me, was his worst piece of writing for the show. And that's all I'm going to say about it. I didn't really like it very much. There's bits and bobs I like. There were a few bits and bobs I did like. The occasional funny line or, you know, some of the characters were quite good. But as a story, I didn't like it. I didn't like the angels. I didn't like the plot holes in it. The discontinuity... like you say,
I just expect a Christmas special to be a little bit over the top, so it doesn't bother me.
But the other Christmas specials have been over the top, but at least they're a bit more cheerful and they didn't have so many things you can pick up on. That's not right. That doesn't right. Or that doesn't reoccur correctly in the future.
And something that Russell T. Davies was saying when around the time I think they made the first and second ones, one of the things he always said is he likes his Christmas specials to be Christmassy, and this didn't have much of that, did it?
No, it didn't. But I will say though, Robert, at the beginning, when he first is wandering around the deck, and they're playing some beautiful choir Christmas music in the background, that was really Christmassy for me. And then it all just went a bit downhill from there. But that background music with the choir and that singing carols was lovely. Oh, it's all gone quiet. This is where we need Reese to pop in with a comment. So, obviously, you actually quite liked it then, Kirby, this one.
No, it's not my least favorite. It's not my favorite. It's just kind of stuck in the middle.
I think
Murray Gold is one of the people in the band.
We forgot to... I really forgot to look for that.
Did he have a moustache on that, Kirby,
yes,
didn't he?
And Ben Foster's in there, and if you ever saw the... The Proms, Yamit Mamo, the singer, is the singer in that one song as well.
Well, that bit was all right. The musical bits were good. I think the music in this episode in general was very good.
And did we notice also the new theme version as well?
Yes, they did it at the beginning. It had the end bit at the beginning, didn't it? Did you notice that? At the opening titles.
It went
diddly diddly do, which is normally what they had at the end.
That's a bit like the ones for Smith's Doctor with the trumpet bit at the beginning.
Well, this is the first time that he'd been able to use the full orchestra. That's what's going on there.
I do like the reworking that comes at the end of the episode. Although on your one, does the title speed pass really quickly?
Yes.
It's really weird. I can't read any of them.
I know.
But there you go.
That's what I.
Now,
I'm sure they don't go through that faster than the ordinary.
They don't.
With the previews of the next series, was that a surprise at that point that it that Catherine Tate was coming
no,
in?
No, no, already knew she was going to be. And people were moaning about it. I wasn't, but people.
It
were.
Was still in the middle of all the big controversy with Donna being. Everyone was thinking Donna could not possibly be a good companion.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to assess it from those preview clips anyway. It's just when having watched the episodes, you discover that she was really, really good. But I knew she was going to be good even from the beginning, to be fair.
Well, I knew nothing about really... it other than Runaway Bride, and so I was willing to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Anybody deserves the benefit of the doubt, don't they?
You should never judge somebody before you've actually seen them.
No, you can say, oh, well, I'm not expecting her to be any good.
Well, I just think, watch it and see.
You don't say, oh, she's terrible. I'm not watching Doctor Who now because she's in it and she's going to ruin it. You wait and see.
It's like people who fell in love watching bloody David Tennant and then, Matt Smith, I'm not going to watch anymore.
No, I think people are beginning to come round and watch and realise they've missed two good series of Doctor Who, despite what Ben says.
If you freeze frame very quickly, some of the Fires of Pompeii segments, you can see Karen Gillan.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you for that. So, Robert, what did you think of this one, then? This Christmas special.
I have to say, I was a bit like Mary's reaction. Mm. And you saying about dragging. Honestly, I kept on looking at the clock thinking, when's this going to finish?
Yeah. When I looked at it, I started and I saw it 1 hour, 15 minutes. Oh, no. And I'd only allotted myself a certain amount of time to watch. I did fit it in, but I thought, oh no. I thought, meh!
I like it better than you guys, sorry.
I know you do, that's clear that's the case. The first time we've had a real, difference of opinion with it, hasn't it?
Really? It's not the first time, no.
Oh, I mean, a real difference of opinion. And this is quite a massive one that go on.
I think they can have some over the top things, but I think when it takes itself seriously doing it though, which I think this did, like having the hero shots of the Doctor or that stupid scene with the angels rising up.
The trouble is, the previous episode we had the Doctor looking all godly and
like milk?
Yes, darling, just give me a moment. All godly and stuff, and then the next episode we see him being carried upwards by angels. It was probably a little bit too close together for me. I don't know.
How many months apart were those, though? They were only a week apart for us. How many
it's
months?
About six
apart?
Months, but it would have been in your mind. The previous episode you saw was of the Doctor looking a bit like he'd come from heaven. but, I mean, at the time, I was a bit disappointed with it, I think. It was, like I say, I enjoyed Kylie. I thought she was really good. I think they sort of mucked up her character a little bit towards the end. They didn't really have to kill her off, to be fair. Yes, I know she might have wanted to join the TARDIS crew, she could have changed her mind. She might have wanted to go off with Alonso. Yeah, go on.
It says in Wikipedia about that. It was saying he... where is it? I've got to find where it says...
RTD wrote this specifically for her and did not expect her to be a continuing... companion.
Oh, no, that's fine. I'm not saying that. It's just that they didn't have to. It was just too many people getting killed.
It says in early drafts of the episode, Astra did not die. Davies decided Astrid's death was necessary to allow Minogue to focus on a musical career. Isn't that pathetic?
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's just all the deaths in it for me that it was just too much. You know, yes, it's Doctor Who, but. Please bear in mind it's Christmas. I know there were a lot of deaths in, the Runaway, not the Runaway Bride, the previous one.
Christmas Invasion.
But it was just so depressing for me. Even the Doctor was depressed at the end of it.
Thank you, Marvin.
Hey?
Thank you, Marvin.
I've been paranoid android.
I'm so
depressed.
Yeah.
Here I am. Brain the size of a...
So, yeah, for me, it's...
I've got this terrible pain in all the diodes down my left side.
To sum up...
No one ever does anything about them.
Never mind. But to sum up, quite glad I don't have to watch that again for a while. And that's apart from next week when we look at a time crash and a random episode of. I mean, do you want to watch Claws of Axos? It's funny I should just happen to mention it. Have we done that one before?
No, we've not done that one because I didn't own it until about a month and a half ago.
Precisely, yeah.
Well, I hope Mary can get her hands on it because
she finds ways.
Good.
She finds a lot of stuff on YouTube. I don't look there. I just wait and get the things.
Indeed. Well, we'll be watching Claws of Axos next week, listeners, if you want to join in. And of course, if you want to
do the week
after that.
Yeah. I beg your pardon?
What are we going to do the week after that?
Ooh, don't know. We'll decide next week. So yeah, if you want to join in with that neighbours, listeners, singing to Kylie there, it's 20mb.fi. Will you stop talking over, or even singing over, if it was singing, I don't know, email address, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Please send in your feedback. Lots of other podcasts gets a lot more
what
email.
What about the, don't we have any, the top 30?
Sponsors.
I was coming on to that. I was trying to sort out the...
Well, you sound like you were winding down. Sorry.
No, yeah, I'm not winding down. I'm just saying.
You do, Adam.
I was trying to segue into reminding people that we do accept feedback and other podcasts seem to get more. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Right. Now, what were we talking about before that?
Doctor Who.
Talking about top 30.
Not yet. I want to do news. Right, so what we alluded to earlier on was the new trailer. And it's another bit of news. It says Sunday, the August 19th. That's today? No, yesterday. No, it's Sunday. No, it was yesterday. It says tomorrow, the 20th of August, sees the final complete Doctor Who adventure featuring good grief, William Hartnell as the first Doctor to arrive on DVD. And isn't that ironic? Because... here he is.
You got it already.
And I'll just read what it says on the back. It says, commentary with vision mixer Clive Doig, a special sound creator Brian Hodgson, makeup supervisor Sonia Markham, and floor assistant David Tilley. They all must be very old. Moderated by Mark Ayres, and episode 3 and 4 reconstruction. The final two episodes of Planet of Giants were edited into a single episode for transmission. Using the original scripts, newly recorded dialogue and animation, this feature gives viewers an idea of how the original four-part version might have appeared. Now, doesn't that sound interesting?
I'm looking forward to that. Yes.
Yeah, Wikipedia says that there's no release date here in Region 1 yet.
Oh, that's a shame. I'll tell you what happened then. Rediscover the urge to live, the team behind the reconstruction, explain how it was all put together, and Suddenly Susan is another... feature on there, doesn't say anything about that. The Lambert tapes, Doctor, that's basically something about the Doctor to do with Verity Lambert, no doubt. Prop design plans, that's available for DVD-ROM and Radio Times listings and optional Arabic? Is that right? Arabic mono audio?
Arabic.
Oh, that's what it says, yeah, Arabic. Why did I read it as Arabic?
You probably think of it Arabic or coffee or something.
I mean... and production information subtitles. Cool, that'd be good. Photo gallery, coming soon trailer. Digitally remastered picture and sound quality. Now, when it says production information subtitles, does that actually mean info text?
Yes, sure.
Why doesn't it say that? So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
But that's what it is.
Yeah, cool. I'm really pleased that's arrived through the letterbox this morning. Thank you very much. And you can buy that, as we alluded to earlier on, at our sponsors, whoon.co.uk. Can't you guys? No?
Yep.
Okay. Oh,
where? Glad you, where?
Who won? Sorry, www.whoon.co.uk.
Would that be whoon.co.uk?
Kirby, did I not just say that? I'm sure I just said www.whoon.co.uk. I think you need to clear your ears.
I think you said whoon.co.uk.
Yes, I suggest getting your ears syringed. I said whoon.co.uk. Where they have a special offer of Wormery, Axis of Insanity, Nocturne ID, and Oxatron CD for £43.95. That's what I said, Oxatron. All right, Oxatron, yes, Oxatron. Anyway, they're £43.95 and get all those stories for that. Pretty good value, isn't it? Latest products, the Doctor Who magazine special, Sarah Jane 3, is out, £4.99, paperback format, of course, because it's the Doctor Who magazine. Wheel of Ice, CD. Cyberman Mini Soft Toy, which is like a keyring soft toy Cyberman thing, £6.99. Doctor Who magazine, Matt and Pat, which I think I've got that one, number 450, is still available there. Girl Awaited Mini Set. So, basically the stuff that was there last time I looked, funny enough. But yeah, you can get all that stuff from whoone.co.uk, and where you can see our logo on their main page. Have a look. What do you reckon? Do you reckon they should all have a look?
Yes.
No? Oh, you yeah. do. That's good.
They should bookmark the page as well.
And I've got a message on Skype from Gideon Vandalore, which is in fact...
Russian?
Yes. That's Roman, yes. Hello, Adam. Long time no see. Are you working on a new episode of the show? Yes, bugger off. Oh, sorry. Yes, I am. Yes. We are. There we go. So, yes, I've covered
National
Who
Won. Day is coming up, isn't it?
Very funny. I've covered whoone.co.uk, haven't I? So I can move on to something else now. I was doing news, wasn't I?
Yeah.
New Yorkers sold out in 20 minutes of their screening of Asylum of the Daleks. Now, have you seen the poster with the logo? It makes it look like a film poster.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good thing with a Dalek eye. And you can, yeah, go on.
Right. What they say is that there's going to be something like that for every episode, and that everything is being designed kind of to be mini movies.
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to be seeing all the stories so far will be filmic, just grand.
Yeah. Excellent. That's because that's because Moffat's not doing, Sherlock, and he can concentrate on Doctor Who. So there we go.
You know that little picture there with the Dalek eye stalk? It's very doing the reflection thing again, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The fact that you see all these clips of all the Daleks together, it makes me not mind the Teletubby Daleks so much, because they do look a bit battered in the little clips we've seen. They look like the
you know, the Teletubby
look
Daleks.
Like we're going to get a lot of Teletubby Daleks.
No. So I can.
You know, they're only the scientists or whatever things, though, aren't they? They're the planning people, not the real soldiers.
Yeah.
The Teletubby ones.
Indeed, yeah, that's right. So I'm just typing to Roman at the moment because he thinks he's upset me.
Did you know those tickets in New York? 11 cents. That's what they're sold for, plus a small service charge. Lucky people. Aren't they?
Right. They are indeed lucky people. Right, hang on, I'm going to add him to the call because I can't really be typing to him and trying to speak to him at the same time. I wonder if he's actually going to answer. He must be on Skype. Must be on Skype at the moment because he's actually typing to me.
Yeah, he's on Skype.
See how he's getting on.
That makes sense.
Yeah, bet he doesn't answer. Where do I get up to? If he answers, I'm sure he'll say something. They're panicking about the magazine sales statistics.
Why?
Because Doctor Adventures sales are down by 34.2% between January and June.
That's only the Doctor Adventures magazine, though, isn't it?
But
it's down.
Doctor Who magazine is only down 9.1%. So it's not looking good for Doctor Adventures, but sales might go up now the new series is on. So that can happen. It's like people stop podcasting when there's no Doctor Who on the telly.
Yeah,
and you'll suddenly see we're going to drop massively down the charts because all these people will be releasing podcasts all at the same time. So don't think Roman wants to answer.
Yeah.
He's gone. Well, I did try. Hang on.
It's a whole bunch of interviews too.
Yeah.
Which, are they written interviews or audio ones?
I'll just have a look. Expand. I know it's just written.
Yeah.
Yeah, you expand it and just. So if you like reading.
Yeah.
Be nice.
I do
to
like reading, but I've never got enough time to do it. That's the trouble.
No.
It's so exciting, isn't it? No, in only a couple of weeks' time we get to see, because they do look fantastic. That what I've seen of the first three episodes of the series, they all look like I'm going to like them. I feel like I'm going to like them. I'm hoping that I can persuade Toby Whithouse, that is, to come on after his episode's gone out.
Yeah, his episode.
I bet he says no.
Third episode, is it? Is this the third episode?
It's the third one, yeah.
Is that the dinosaurs on the spaceship one, or?
I'm sure it's written here somewhere. Who does what episode? It's probably on the BBC Doctor Who website.
It's in Doctor Who magazine anyway. The last time I
hint is a town called Mercy.
That's it. The cowboy one.
That's the third one.
Yeah, that's it. Hello, Crichton. Isabella. What are you going to pester me with now?
I really want to go and see Uncle Dave.
No, his birthday's in 2 or 4 days' time, so don't worry about it.
What about Aunt Sarah?
No. I've got too much to do. I've got to cook the dog's dinners. I've got to annoy you.
Well, we could have went to the park by ourselves.
Could have what?
Went to the park.
Not yet. I've got to cook the dog's dinners, and I've got to annoy you a little bit because Alicia's not
then
here.
Cook the dog's dinners.
The dog's dinner.
Dog's dinners. Then go to the park.
No, because I've got to be around when your mum arrives home. Good. You can go in the back garden if you like that. did you hear that slamming the door?
Yes.
so Alicia. Actually, so are mothers, for that matter. That's about it for news, really. It's just, there's lots of lovely artwork in that around.
Oh, yes.
At the moment.
Yep. I hope they release my Facebook picture.
They all stop. They all talk over each other and they stop.
No, I just said, did you see my Facebook picture?
No. I suppose I should.
Yeah.
Is it recently posted?
Well, I just changed it from a shot from the new series, that's all. You know that poster with Matt Smith?
Oh, yeah. I tried to make that my wallpaper on the computer, but it didn't work.
Now, one thing I think, I've got a prediction. You know in the trailer when the doctor's carrying Amy and Rory says, who killed all the Daleks? And the doctor says, who do you think? I think who I think is Amy did.
Amy did.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? Oh,
sounds feasible.
Yeah, it does indeed. Right. So I'm going to. This will probably end up being an edit because I'm just. What I said about trying to get that backdrop for me computer, I'm just trying to see if I can find it. It's the picture you've put on Facebook as your profile picture, but I'm pretty sure it's available
as
a
BBC site, so.
I'm pretty sure you can get it as a wallpaper. Ooh, strategy games. When do they play on the Mac, though, is the thing?
Should do.
Now, people have been saying something about how a red Dalek is missing a bump.
Yeah, what, in the trailer?
In the trailer?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see that. I see a... another Dalek's got his suction cup in front of where the bump is supposed to be.
No, I saw it with a missing bump.
Where?
Oh, good grief. It's a very brief trailer, isn't it? Let's see if I can find the trailer.
Let me find the trailer, too.
It's on the page. Yeah, no, it's also on the Doctor Who news page. So when you're ready to play it, I'll click on play and see if we can't synchronise it. Right, I'm not ready yet. And I am now. Is it called... mine's just says... Oh, yeah, Save the Daleks. So are we ready, then? Have you got it up and running already? Three.
I'm already 9 seconds in.
Hey, go ahead. Put it back to the beginning. We're going to synchronise. For God's sake, man. Ready?
Okay.
3, 2, 1, play. Right. So it's... I tell you when it comes up, there's lots of Daleks, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Lots and lots of Daleks.
Yes. Does look rather good. They're very loud, Daleks. Sorry, listeners. Oh.
Yeah.
So where did I see the bit with the Daleks?
I think you're precisely. Talking about at 11 seconds.
Oh, did you? Did you see it then?
No, I see a suction cup in front of a...
Oh, 11 seconds. Let's take it back to 11 seconds. Let's see if we can hold the frame.
10 seconds, sorry.
Make your mind up.
7, 8, 9...
I'll pause it.
10 seconds.
Oh, yeah, yes. Oh,
there it is. It's a suction cap. My goodness, yeah. you're brilliant. Listeners, it is now official. Kirby is brilliant.
It just happens to be where the bump should be.
Exactly. Well, it's right in front of the bump.
Yeah.
Oh. Etheric beam locators.
Thank you. That's a bit of a disappointment, really. I thought they sort of battered them up a little bit. Made them look like they're a bit battle scarred, you know.
But in one of the rooms, though, they are, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, battered, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But that's old ones.
What, old Daleks?
So they're looking to the Doctor to save them, are they?
Clearly. Okay. The charts.
Yay! Oh, hear the music. Hear the music.
Hang on, Isabella's going to interrupt me, I think. Got a funny thing. No, that's next door. Okay, the charts. Number 30, it's a new entry. I'm not going to say new, because when I say new, it sounds like I'm going to say new podcast, because a lot of them are old podcasts that just got into the charts. But this is a new entry. Earth2.net presents. Now, Earth2.net have got loads of podcasts on the go, and one of them's a Doctor Who podcast called Big on the Inside. But this is obviously a podcast feed for all of their podcasts. So technically, it's a Doctor Who podcast, and it's new in at number 30. 29, down 4, the Coltham Collective. Number 28, down 2, Earth Station 1. And Earth Station 2 seems to have disappeared. I couldn't find it on iTunes this week, so I don't know what happened there.
They don't release those that much.
Yeah, but they'd still be a feed on iTunes, even if they hadn't released an episode. Number 27, I'll start that again. Number 27, down 6, Tim's Take On. Number 26, a re-entry for Who on Who. Number 25, a re-entry for Who is the Man podcast.
Yay! Never heard of it.
Number 24, down 7, for Staggering Stories. Number 23, a re-entry for The Time Vault. Number 22, up 7, Ian Todd's Universe of Podcasts. Number 21 is a new entry for Doctor Who Comentado, which is a Spanish language Doctor Who podcast. It's been out for a while, but it's the first time it's actually managed to get into the top 30. Number 20, a re-entry for The Oncoming Storm. Number 19, down 4, Playing Doctor. Number 18, a re-entry for Podcast Who.
Race likes doing, Playing Doctor.
Number 17, down 1, The Whostorian. Number 16, down 2, The Cerberus Podcast. Number 15, a re-entry for Doctor Who, Who's He?
14, I don't know, who is he?
Yeah, we'd never find out.
If we find out, it's no point in actually a series being called Doctor Who, is there? Number 14, a re-entry for The Naked Scarf. Number 13, a re-entry for Bad Wilf. Number 12, down 4.
Not bad.
20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Number 11, a re-entry for Adventures in Time, Space and Music.
How did we get out of the top 10?
Well, probably because all the podcasts above us have had more downloads and listeners than us this week. Number 10. Down 1, the Minute Doctor Who podcast. Number 9, up 4, the Tharos Project. Number 8, up 3, Mostly Harmless Cutaway. Number 7, a re-entry for the Omega podcast. Number 6, Non-Mover, the Memory Cheats. Number 5, re-entry for...
there's a new one of those I need to listen to today.
Yeah, I've got a few to listen to.
Number 5, a re-entry for the TARDIS Tavern. Number 4, a Non-Mover, the DWO WhoCast. Number 3, a Non-Mover, Tin Dog Podcast. Number 2, a Non-Mover, Radio Free Scaro. And at number 1, it's a re-entry for Doctor Who Podshock. And that concludes the top 30 Doctor Who podcasts for this week. And we could drop out of the top 20 if... When the series starts, because all these podcasts are it'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Lose all our faithful listeners.
We're not losing listeners, it just means we've got our listeners, but we might even get more listeners, but the other podcasts get more than us, so we have listeners.
I just sonic the list to make it change.
Excellent.
But yes, I think we've got more listeners than ever, to be fair, at the moment. It's just the other podcasts just happen to have more than ever as well. Even more, I should say. Doesn't happen to help, I should say, that iTunes keep on mucking up the subscription feeds and stuff like that. So people have to search around for it. It doesn't automatically drop into.
Well, just look on Podbean. It's easier to.
I know, but if you're in a situation where you only get your podcast via subscription, so you don't look to see when they're coming out, they drop in.
That's what I do. I use iTunes.
It's a bit of a nuisance for the producers of podcasts when that happens.
Yeah.
So there you go. I think that's about it, really. Apart from reiterating what I said last week about the artwork for my forthcoming ebook, from Troy to Man. I haven't had anything yet. I've had people said they want to have a go at it. Sorry for about scoffing at you last week, Robert. Please do, everybody, if you want to have a go at designing this one. I can't say I'll choose it.
Only thing is, I haven't read the first book, so...
You better get your finger out and read it. So available on as an ebook from iTunes. And you can read it via the iTunes actual page. You can actually read it on the computer, so you don't actually need to get an iPad or an iPhone to do that. You can do it. You can actually read it directly from your computer. But in the meantime...
I downloaded a free Beatles Yellow Submarine book, and I can't watch it. Read that on...
You can't watch it?
My computer, no.
Can you? You must have a funny computer.
Why not?
That's a book. I don't know why.
You should be able to.
Maybe it's just an iPad one, though.
Well, now you've done that, I'm going to double-click on the same book you just mentioned, called The Beatles Yellow Submarine.
Is that the free one?
Yeah. Fair enough, you can't read it. Darn. Oh, well, there must be some ways you can read books.
Well, I can read books on Moby Reader, which I've got downloaded.
Can you?
But then I'd have to set that to play through Moby Reader. That's all.
Yeah. Well, there must be a way you can read it. It's silly that you can only read it through iPads and those things that Amazon bring out.
Or you just have
Kindles.
To set it to open with
I mean, you can buy it on Amazon.co.uk anyway. Sorry, Amazon.com as an ebook anyway, because it's on Amazon. As I just said, Amazon.
I'd have the real copy.
And that's The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin. If you want to read that book to get an idea of what the characters are like for, or the, what characters
it's
are
like,
in
it's
the
like
sequel.
It's like the Adrian Mole book, isn't it?
Mm. Well, it's that
format.
Oh,
I see. The Yellow Submarine book says that you have to have iBooks on iPad, iPhone, or iPod Touch.
There you go, see?
Which I happen to have an iPod Touch, so I'm downloading it now. I didn't realize. Phil,
you do realize you have to pay
for
it.
Put up my son's iPod Touch.
Oh, you're downloading The Yellow Submarine, not my book. Thanks, Kirby.
Yeah. I don't have enough funds in my iTunes.
Pretty sure it's only £4.95. I'll just check before I go how much. The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin is on iTunes. iTunes chore. Story go, right.
But it comes up as in dollars.
Diary of an Unwilling... Whoops.
Virgin.
Right. Let's have a look. £4.99.
$7.99.
Hey, that's a bargain.
It's a bargain.
Sam...
And you can actually download a sample for free. It gives you a few pages.
We have not received enough ratings to display an average for this book.
Yeah, that's because people can't be bothered.
Well, I'll write it for you, Adam.
Yeah, but if you go to if you Google it, The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin, look for Apex Publishing, it'll bring up the book's page on the publishing site. There is quite a lot of feedback on that particular page, and also radio interviews with me, and a radio interview with me and Ben when Ben was. A radio DJ before we did the podcast and everything for Winchester Radio where we did we didn't talk about this, but we talked about one of the other books we wrote. But there's a few bits and bobs and ends like that.
Football books, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think there is an interview where I talk about this book somewhere on there, because Chris Carolyn, who's my publisher, is quite keen on getting every single bit of radio sort of publicity going to put on their website. So yes, Diary of Unwilling Virgin, Apex Publishing, .co.uk, and you'll find some radio interviews involving myself.
Excellent.
Everybody's all fallen asleep now.
No,
hey,
I'm awake.
No, I'm talking about the listeners. So that's it then. Can't think of anything else to say. Next week,
short show,
The Claws of Axos, and yeah, well, there you go. Unintentionally so. And I think are we recording on Sunday next week?
This week,
I hope so. It doesn't matter to me. Really.
Well, we'll do it Sunday. I think Mary should be right, and obviously Reese will be, and really get Alicia onto the show next week. Next Sunday evening. She won't watch Claws of Axos, but she'll just be Alicia, and That should be quite good. Obviously, she'll be back on the show a bit more often when the new series starts.
But, you know, it'd be interesting if she could. Because I'd love to hear people's perceptions now of watching it.
She won't watch it.
Yep. Yeah.
She won't watch it.
It's a shame, isn't it?
It is. But Isabella will eventually watch it. Well, I've got to wait till she's 8. Because that's when...
Damn kids.
As I say, that's how old Alicia was when she started watching the classic series.
So she has to be 8, does she? Why?
Because that was the age Alicia was. And I just feel that... and all she was old enough to articulate about the episode she watched better.
I think my youngest started watching Doctor Who around 6 or even 5.
Did she have much to say about it?
Well, Isabella watches Doctor Who, but she's probably likely to say Amy fell down to the ground, stuff like that.
Yeah,
but we'll see. We'll see when the new series comes up.
I remember those days.
We'll get the input from Isabella as well. So, and that's about it then. Thanks everybody, and it's a shame that we were sort of a little short of presenters this week. But sometimes that happens. And I must try and get Ben back involved in the show when the new series starts. He won't be actually talking with all of us, but if I can get him on just to say a few words about the forthcoming episodes and what he thinks of them, that'd be really, really good. Yeah. Trouble is, I think 3 of the episodes are written by Stephen Moffat. So, we'll see. So, until next week, thank you for listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And, well, what more can I say? But goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!
Yes!